In the news, Iowa's COVID-19 positivity rate is on the rise again as the number of Iowans testing positive for the virus continues to climb. The Iowa Department of Public Health released new COVID-19 data on Friday that shows the number of positive tests at 7,501 in the last week. That was up from Wednesday's report of 6,816. The 14-day positivity rate climbed from 8.2% to 8.4% from Wednesday to Friday. A total of 533,872 positive tests have been reported in Iowa since the beginning of the pandemic. While the number of positive tests has been climbing for more than a week, hospitalization numbers are down. There are 464 patients hospitalized with COVID-19 in Iowa, down from 483 on Wednesday. Of those hospitalized with COVID-19, nearly 74% are unvaccinated, while nearly 83% of those listed in intensive care with the virus are unvaccinated. The total number of long-term care facilities reporting COVID outbreaks in Iowa climbed from 23 on Wednesday to 27 as of Friday. There have been more than 3.7 million vaccine doses administered in Iowa, with 68.1% of those persons 18 and older fully vaccinated, and nearly 71% of those 12 and older having had at least one dose. Republican Congresswoman Marionette Miller Meeks of Ottumwa said she's opposed to having the federal government negotiate to lower the prices of prescription medicine covered by Medicare. Democrats inserted the proposal into a bill that was voted upon Friday. Miller Meeks, an eye doctor, said prescription drug cost controls would interfere with a doctor-patient relationship.
When we give the government more control, we undermine what a physician, all of their knowledge, all of their experience, that of our compounding pharmacists, those with healthcare experience, and how they can prescribe the best treatments for their patients. So it's a tremendous concern to all of us, not just price, but also access to care and access to quality care.
The VA has been able to negotiate the prices for prescription drugs for veterans under the agency's care, but this would be the first time Medicare could negotiate prices for some of the medications prescribed to Americans over the age of 65. The plan would cover only the most expensive drugs, and pricing negotiations wouldn't start until 2023. Miller Meeks suggests it's a slippery slope. While she doesn't directly cite medications that have primarily been used to treat malaria or to deworm livestock, Miller Meeks is critical of regulations during the pandemic which have prevented doctors from prescribing alternative drugs for COVID patients.
We've had governors make decisions over what drugs doctors can prescribe their patients under the penalty of doctors losing their license. We've seen government bureaucracy interfere with the doctor-patient relationship, whether it's prescribing treatments, what they can get through hospitalization.
Miller Meeks made her comments Friday during an online forum organized by the House GOP leader's office. In other news, the latest Iowa drought monitor released on Thursday shows that for the first time since July 7th, no part of Iowa is considered to be in a severe drought. State climatologist Justin Glisson said Iowa has been in a structural drought since May of 2020.
And we've had ebb and flow. We've had heat waves. We've had cold weather outbreaks. We've had very dry conditions.
Rainfall was as much as 10 inches below normal in some areas of the state. That is, until the steady rainfall in October.
We're not in a drought buster now, but we're in a semi-drought buster. We've had anywhere from 3 to 5 inches over 14 days across much of western Iowa. You look at eastern Iowa, 2 to 3, even 4-inch totals. Above average, of course. We've received precipitation amounts in 2 weeks that we would see in a month and a half, especially in fall.
Parts of the western U.S. have been in a long-term drought, but Glisson says those kind of sustained dry conditions are unlikely in the Midwest.
On the West Coast, they're impacted by different weather patterns than we are in the central part of the United States. They've also had what we call the mega drought. Heat waves, forest fires of a record that we haven't seen before. When you have burn scars on the topography, you get rain events, that rain runs off, it doesn't soak in, and it perpetuates that drought. Luckily, in the central part of the United States, it doesn't look like we can get into a long-term perpetual drought, given the moisture gate from the Gulf of Mexico, but also the different air masses that impact us.
Glisson made his comments during a taping of Iowa Press, which airs on Iowa PBS. The end of daylight saving time takes place early Sunday morning. We'll turn the clocks back an hour before you go to bed, preferably, and in return, in theory, we get an extra hour of sleep. Daylight saving time, sometimes incorrectly called by the plural daylight savings time, concludes at 2 a.m. local time on Sunday, November 7th. when we shift back to Central Standard Time locally. The number of daylight hours will continue to get shorter until the winter solstice starts on December 21st. Afterward, the length of days will then begin to increase until the summer solstice on June 21st, 2022. But the days will actually begin to feel a bit longer 2 weeks before the solstice. That's because the earliest sunset of the year happens before the solstice, and in 2021 it occurs on Tuesday, December 7th. The changeover to daylight saving time usually is the time that fire officials recommend you change the batteries in your smoke detector, which typically last about 6 months. I'm Rick Hansen, KJAN News.